What's up, Eagle Country? Thanks so much for joining me for another edition of Crunch Time. It's a pretty good day to be a Cincinnati sports fan, particularly if you are a Cincinnati football fan. Bengals 3-1, Cincinnati Bearcats, maybe a legitimate shot to get into the college football playoff. We'll have more on that coming up a little bit later on in the show, which is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoCincy.com. I am your host, Double T Travis, there on the rundown tonight. We are going to talk about the girls golf state finals here in the state of Indiana, the volleyball sectional draw. We got soccer sectional starting this week. The ORVC cross country championship happened over the weekend. I also have the high school football roundup, and then we'll get to Double T's takes to round out the show. But anytime a team in the area makes it to the state finals, that is worthy of being number one on the rundown. So we are going to start with the IHSAA girls golf state finals. The Batesville Bulldogs making it to the state finals in girls golf by winning the sectional first. That's how they advanced to the regional. Then they placed third at the LaPel regional and got to compete at the state finals this past Friday and Saturday at Prairie View Golf Club in Carmel. Two-day event, so each participating team and the individuals that made it to the state finals played 36 holes in total. Batesville would end up finishing 14th out of 15 teams. They shot a combined 768 over the two 18-hole rounds. In total, they were 192 strokes over par. Just for context to kind of show you where the top team was and where Batesville was, it was Evansville North capturing the state title, shooting 30 over as a team. So a pretty big discrepancy between 1st and 15th or 14th if you're the Batesville Bulldogs. But nonetheless, an excellent run to the state finals. Individually, Emma Weiler turned in a 162 over the two rounds. She tied for 29th overall, shot an 87 on Friday, and then turned in a excellent round on Saturday, shooting 75. Looking at her scorecard on Friday, 8 bogeys and 4 doubles on day one, turned around with only 4 bogeys and had a birdie on day two. So you could see how quickly she adapted to the course and was able to card a really, really nice round, shooting that 75. Addison Weiler tied for 34th. She shot 166 overall, two rounds of 83, so very consistent for Addison. Josie Meyer placing in a tie for 80th, 195 total between her two rounds. Victoria Harpering, shot a combined 245. And then Madeline Pullman was the fifth member of the Batesville girls team, shot a 132 in round one, but did not finish round two. Not exactly sure what happened there. But once again, excellent run from the Batesville girls golf team playing in the state finals. Certainly a memory that they will likely not forget anytime soon. So congratulations once again to all five of those young ladies for an excellent season and making it to the state finals. Awesome job. So we do want to move on to the boys tennis sectional briefly and talk about some of the area teams that did participate over the weekend. Now, we had sectional 16 at East Central in Batesville, and the host Trojans found their teams in the sectional championship. It was Batesville winning 4-1, so they're going to move on to the Richmond Regional, and they will take on Rushville, a familiar foe. They have a chance to take on Rushville, as Rushville knocked out Franklin County 4-1 at the Connersville sectional. So actually it'll be Batesville versus Richmond on Tuesday, Rushville versus Knightstown, with the chance for Batesville and Rushville to meet in the regional championship. So good luck to those teams as they continue on their tennis season this week. And also congratulations to East Central. Still a fantastic year. I know they fell short of their goal of winning the sectional championship, but 14-6 overall, plenty of good memories from this season for those young men. Also wanted to hit on the ORVC Cross Country Championship, which took place on Saturday. On the boys' side of things, it was Rising Sun being crowned conference champions. Now, you want to have the low score in cross country. They turned in a score of 60, just 3 points off the pace with Southwestern. South Ripley in third with at 65, fourth place Switzerland County at 67, and Jacksonville fifth place at 71. So this was a very tightly contested race in cross country, but Rising Sun eking it out in the end, and Peyton Merica was the first place finisher for the Shiners. Time of 17 minutes, 46 seconds. Also had Ethan Markland and Casey Fletcher placing in the top 10. Switzerland County freshman Cooper Hahn was second, followed by Jacksonville's Josh Poley in third place. On the girls' side of things, Switzerland County was the winner at the ORVC Championship. 26 was their score. South Ripley coming in second. Jacksonville and Southwestern following up in third and fourth. Switzerland County's Claire Rogers placing first with a time of 19:45. Grace White, Amber Detmer, Alicia Detmer, and Carly Boggs also in the top 10 for the Lady Pacers. Shout out to South Ripley's Lainey Nicholson finishing second, and Emily Campbell placing third, followed by Deborah Murphy in eighth place. All three of those young ladies from South Ripley. You can see the full results right now over at EagleCountryOnline.com on the local sports report. Next up, let's get to the high school football roundup from Friday evening. Myself and Bill Smith had the pleasure of being on the call of the South Dearborn Franklin County game at beautiful Backman Field, South Dearborn High School. It was Aurora Farmers Fair weekend, so no real other place we'd rather be. And it actually turned out to be maybe the best game of the weekend for our area teams. There were a lot of blowouts over the weekend. We'll get to that in just a moment. But South Dearborn picking up the win, 24-14, improving to 5-2 on the season. It actually looked like this game could have turned into a blowout, or might have turned into a blowout after the first quarter. South Dearborn dominated that first quarter, had a 14-0 lead, but Franklin County kept fighting the whole game. And I actually talked to Wes Gilman before the game, and he talked about that in their game a week prior, where they just kept fighting, were able to score a four-point victory over Greensburg. But a big moment at the end of the half. There was less than a minute to go. Franklin County had the ball deep in their own territory. I believe they had two timeouts at the time. Got aggressive, and Drew Probst came up with an interception. But Franklin County was able to hold South Dearborn without scoring going into the half. So it was 21-14 at that point. Had a real sloppy third quarter from both teams. A lot of penalties. Not much excitement on the offensive end. But South Dearborn would tack on a field goal from Tatum Barker in the fourth quarter. I believe that was a 22-23-yard field goal. So a real nice job there to go up 10 points. But plenty of positives for South Dearborn in this game. Kind of if you eliminate that third quarter where nobody really got anything going. But South Dearborn, as they have been all season long, very balanced on offense. They had 173 yards passing, 174 yards rushing. The C.J. Rogers show continued on once again. 29 carries, 154 yards, and a touchdown. Adam Kunkel, the sophomore quarterback, making, I believe, his fourth start, made some big throws when he needed to. The completion percentage wasn't great, a little under 50%, but he had a couple of big throws late in that game. Austin Ballard coming up big on fourth down a couple times. Reese Willoughby had some big catches in there as well. So, again, I know Adam wanted to complete a little bit more of his passes. I'm sure the coaching staff wants to see him a little bit more efficient. But, again, he made the throws when it really counted, and that helped them win the game. South Dearborn was actually better on fourth down than they were on third down. 3-for-14 on third downs, but 3-of-4 on fourth down. Nice job keeping the offense on the field and moving the sticks, going for it on fourth down four different times. Defensively, South Dearborn, that might have been one of their best games of the season, maybe their best game of the season. Completely shut down Franklin County from passing the ball outside of a couple of tremendous plays from Jacob Schatzel. But other than the two balls that he kind of caught in traffic, there was nothing through the air for Franklin County. They also only had 150 yards rushing. That's well below their average per game, as they average over 200 yards rushing. But I'm sure some things to clean up this week for South Dearborn in practice before they take on at Rushville, and then the big game with Lawrenceburg to end the season. But they got to be feeling pretty good about themselves being 5-2 with two games to go to kind of get themselves ready for what's going to be a tough sectional with two top 10 teams in that 4A sectional in East Central and the defending champs Mooresville. But hey, I got to also give a shout-out to Corbin Cassidy. This is a young man that was playing defensive back with a cast on his right arm. There was three different moments in the first half of that game where Corbin could have came up with an interception, and he finally Got it. It paid off in the second half, getting an INT. He and Drew Probst, both with a pick in that game, helping South Dearborn to the 24-14 win. So, now 5-2. They have guaranteed themselves a winning regular season. They'll finish second in the EIAC 4A division behind East Central, who, wrapped that up with a win against Connersville on Friday. We'll get there in just a second. But, congratulations to South Dearborn on a nice hard fought win over Franklin County on Farmers Fair weekend. Doesn't really get a whole lot better than that. You are listening to Crunch Time. It is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Learn more about their services at OrthoSensi.com. We're in the midst of our high school football roundup from Friday. The Lawrenceburg Tigers, massive winners over Rushville. You might have already seen the scoreline by now, and no, it is not a misprint. Lawrenceburg 91, Rushville 12. The Tigers setting a single-game school record for points in this rout of Rushville. The previous record set in 1976 when they scored 72 versus South Decatur. I think we all know what happened in 76. Tigers went to the state final for the second year in a row. They did end up losing 8-6 to Lafayette Central Catholic. But at 72 points, well, that was shattered about midway through the second quarter in this game. Lawrenceburg actually went into the half up 84-0. And I understand there's going to be a lot of differing viewpoints on the final score line of this game. For context, Lawrenceburg ranked in the top five in 3A. Rushville has not won a game all season long. So there is a little bit of a talent discrepancy between these two teams. That's no disrespect to Rushville. They're just in two different situations. Lawrenceburg is fighting for a state championship potentially, while Rushville is just trying to build a foundation for their program with a first-year head coach and some young kids on their team. So that's kind of where these two teams are at. But from what we were told, Lawrenceburg had their JV kids in the game with about 7 minutes to go in the second quarter. At that point, it was already 7-0. The varsity players were just able to score fast and furious, having the 70 points by the midway point of the second quarter. For a little bit more context, Garrett Yoon, he completed 6 of 9 passes. 6 of those passes that he completed, 4 of them were touchdowns for 223 yards. He also carried the ball 2 times for 27 yards, and he scored both times that he did. Tegan Bennett, he scored 3 times on 6 carries. Aiden Gilmore scored 3 times on 4 receptions. So very quick drives for Lawrenceburg. Some of them were aided by 4 Rushville turnovers. So they started with the ball already in Rushville territory. One of those turnovers went back for a defensive touchdown from Alex Whitty, who's having a phenomenal season, by the way. So that's kind of the context behind the game. Lawrenceburg did get the JV kids in there as early as they possibly could, it seems. Even played some freshmen down the stretch. Cornett kid had a really nice game with multiple touchdowns as well. So that's just kind of where that game is at. You can think what you want to think about it. I don't think Lawrenceburg was purposely trying to run up the score. They were just letting their kids go out there and play, and they were having great success. That's kind of the way I see it. But anyways, Lawrenceburg moves up to number 6 in scoring in 3A. Now 44.1 points per game. That is 16th in the entire state. And up next for the Tigers will be the Connersville Spartans, and then the regular season finale at the Pit 2 weeks from Friday, as they will take on the South Dearborn Knights. We will be there to call that game on the 15th. Looking forward to that one. All right, let's talk a little bit. Actually, one more thing on Lawrenceburg before we move on to East Central. Just 2-0 in the EIAC 3A division, but that's going to be good enough to make them the conference champs. Obviously, didn't get a chance to play Greensburg early in the season due to a COVID situation they had up there early in the season. So Lawrenceburg able to beat Rushville and Batesville, the other two teams on the 3A side. So 3A champs for the Tigers once again. Similarly, East Central is the champ on the EIAC 4A division side with the 73-6 rout of Connersville. Another blowout win for EC as they improved to 6-1, same record as the Tigers. Their 28th conference championship also extended their conference winning streak to 50 games. That includes teams in the 3A division and sectional games. And this was pretty similar to the Lawrenceburg game, where there's not a lot of big-time stats because East Central was basically scoring, it seemed like, on every play. Trey Omer had 4 carries for 136 yards. 4 of those carries, well, 3 of them went for a touchdown. He averaged a cool 34 yards per carry. East Central only passed the ball 3 times in this game. They completed 1 of those passes. It went for a 70-yard touchdown courtesy of Eli Aston. Defense continues to hold down opponents. They allowed just 137 yards of total offense. So EC, similar to Lawrenceburg, they just had great field position all night long. And when you have the firepower that these teams have with great field position, they are going to make you pay and punch it in over and over again. East Central, just like Lawrenceburg, forced four turnovers. And that's kind of the story on that game. They are now tied with New Prairie for the best scoring defense in 4A, allowing just 11.3 points per game. If you remember back several weeks ago, we welcomed into East Central Trojans with their four senior captains, and Sam Ringer had said that they wanted to break the record for most shutouts in a season. They're going to fall short of that, but they are still going to be looked at as one of the best defenses in recent memory. They've been playing that well. So while they won't have the shutout record, they might have some other records coming up that we're just not really putting our eyes on as of right now. But the margin of victory has been there for EC, as it is pretty much on a year-in, year-out basis. 30.7 points per game is what they're beating their opponents by. That's second best in 4A. But up next for East Central, their schedule gets real interesting. They're going to take on Guerin Catholic, and if you look at Guerin's record, you're going to see a 1-6 next to their name. Do not let that fool you. The Golden Eagles might have lost six games in a row, but the losses have come to some very good teams. Lafayette Central Catholic, they lost 6 points there. They're number 12 in 2A in the media poll. They lost 3 points to Heritage Christian, who's number 3 in 2A. Did get blown out by Brebeuf Jesuit, who is number 2 in 3A, and just lost to Ron Colley and Chittard a couple weeks ago. Number 1 and number 9 team in 4A. Then they just played Northview, who's another 4A team, with just a 6-point loss. So they've been pretty competitive in most games with some of these really, really strong teams. But when you look at Brebeuf and Ron Colley and Chittard losing by multiple touchdowns, those are three teams that are going to be in serious contention to win a state championship in their respective divisions. So, yeah, don't let that 1-6 fool you. Guerin Catholic is more than capable of playing a tough game with East Central. I would still consider the Trojans to be a favorite in the game, but that'll be a real interesting game coming up this Friday. East Central will then turn around and play Ron Colley to finish out the season, so that'll be a good measuring stick for the Trojans to see where they're at heading into sectional play. All right, I do want to talk about Milan before we get on to some other things here on the show. This will wrap up our high school football roundup. And Milan, tough loss on Friday, falling 35-21 to Providence. This was kind of a teeter-totter type game where the Indians got behind 7 points, and then they were able to jump out and take a 21-7 lead, and then 28 unanswered points for Providence as they earned the comeback victory. So Milan 2-5 with two games left. As remember, they are an independent this year, so a little bit different schedule. It's maybe a little bit stronger than it has been in the past, playing in the old Mid-Indiana Football Conference. Milan has struggled offensively. I think Coach Langfurman would agree with that statement. We'll hear from them on Friday when we call the Greensburg game out in Milan, but they're only averaging 234 yards of total offense. They have turned the ball over 12 times. They do have 13 takeaways, so the defense has kind of helped keep them in some games this year. They're going to take on Greensburg, as I mentioned, this Friday. They're just 1-4 on the season. These teams stack up pretty similarly to one another. The big glaring difference between the two teams is Greensburg has a little bit better passing attack. Sam West averaging about 148 yards per game through the air. Braden Rohrig is only averaging about 80 yards per game for the Indians. So Greensburg also rushes for about 150 per game, so maybe a little bit more balanced on offense, but Milan certainly has a chance to keep themselves in this game, if not win it. Should be a pretty good one. You'll hear it right here at Eagle Country 99.3 and EagleCountryOnline.com. This Friday, 6:40 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock kickoff. Excuse me, Mike Perleberg and Chuck Thomas will be on the call. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by Ortho Sensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, conveniently located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need. Learn more at orthosensi.com. So boys soccer sectional getting underway tonight, and I actually had the South Dearborn Franklin County game up on my laptop a little bit earlier. Had to shut it off because, well, the Knights were blowing out Franklin County at halftime. It was 9-0, so South Dearborn well on their way into the sectional semifinal. They will await the winner of Greensburg and Rushville. That game coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. South Dearborn Athletics actually going to stream all of these games live on their website for free. So not only will you be able to catch the rest of the South Dearborn Franklin County game, but Greensburg Rushville at 7, and tomorrow Batesville and Lawrenceburg will tangle at 7 o'clock. That should be a fantastic game. Lawrenceburg ending the season ranked 10th overall in Class 2A. Batesville in the top 20 as well, I believe. So that's going to be a phenomenal match. These two teams played in the sectional championship a year ago. Lawrenceburg won it 2-1. So yes, make sure you're tuning in for those games. If not, get out to South Dearborn High School as well and support these youngsters in person. Class 1A at Jackson Dell. Got Shaw Memorial and South Ripley playing tonight. They've played to a couple draws this year. More recently, South Ripley was able to defeat Shaw Memorial, but the winner of that game will play Switzerland County. And then tomorrow, you got Southwestern versus Rising Sun and Jackson Dell versus Milan. Also in boys soccer tomorrow, East Central versus New Pal. That's a 7:15 game at Mount Vernon Fortville. The winner will play Richmond or Greenfield Central. And that should wrap up the boys' side of things. In girls' soccer, 3A at Greenfield Central. East Central takes on Shelbyville this Thursday at 7 p.m. That's a semifinal game already. In Class 2A at Lawrenceburg, the host Tigers take on Connersville tomorrow at 6 p.m. Thursday, you got Rushville versus South Dearborn in the first game, with Franklin County playing the winner of the Lawrenceburg-Connersville matchup. In Class 2A at Beech Grove, that's where Batesville will play Greensburg tomorrow at 6 p.m. The winner there plays Heron on Thursday. And in 1A at Rising Sun, tomorrow South Ripley and Rising Sun tangle at 6 p.m. The winner will play Milan on Thursday. You also have Oldenburg Academy versus Switzerland County in the other semifinal. Wanted to make sure we got to the IHSAA Volleyball State Tournament and sectional pairings being revealed on Sunday evening with the little show they do on the Champions Network. And we do have the local pairings right now for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com. In Class 1A, Sectional 62 at Trinity Lutheran. This is going to be a seven-team sectional. Rising Sun drew Medora in the first round. Jackson Dell will take on Oldenburg Academy. That's on the top half of the bracket. The bottom half, Trinity Lutheran versus Crothersville and West Washington with the bye. Taking a look at Class 2A, Sectional 45 at South Ripley, North Decatur versus Milan on the top half of the bracket. The winner there will play South Decatur, and on the bottom half, Switzerland County versus Southwestern and South Ripley drawing Austin. Class 3A, Sectional 29 at Batesville. Again, this is volleyball. Franklin County drew Greensburg in the first round. The winner there will play Batesville. You got South Dearborn matching up with Rushville in the first round, while Lawrenceburg will play Connersville. So a chance to perhaps see South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg play in the semifinals. Always fun when those two teams match up in any sport. And in Class 4A, Sectional 14 at Martinsville, Columbus North versus the host school in the first game. Winner there plays Bedford North Lawrence. Columbus East drawing Bloomington South, while the East Central Trojans will take on Bloomington North in the first round. You can learn a little bit more about the IHSAA Volleyball State Tournament at EagleCountryOnline.com. All right, 24 minutes has flown by here. Crunch time, presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Time for Double T's Takes. I want to talk about UC football, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Cincinnati Reds, and a quick thought on FC Cincinnati to wrap things up. I like to sprinkle in a little pro and college sports here and there, even though the bulk of the show focuses on high school sports. But football king right now in Cincinnati, number 7 UC Bearcats going to South Bend, defeating number 9 Notre Dame on Saturday, 24-13, to keep their college football playoff hopes alive. UC did move up two spots in the AP poll to number 5. They are number 6 in the coaches poll. Obviously, a big-time win. They swept the Indiana series, beating Notre Dame this week in Indiana a couple weeks ago. Defense was great. That secondary for UC, among the best in the country, if not the best. Notre Dame really couldn't get anything going through the air. And if you look at the rest of their schedule, UC's not likely to stumble the rest of the way. They don't play a tough schedule in the AAC. Usually Central Florida would be a team that's pretty tough. They're having a down year. They play Temple next. They're okay. SMU, maybe. I just don't see any team really being able to trip them up. So will the wins against Indiana and Notre Dame be enough to propel them into the college football playoff? Indiana, they were very good last year. At one time, I think they were ranked right around the top 10. they haven't played up to that potential this year. Notre Dame was obviously in the top 10 when UC beat them, but I'm still very skeptical that UC's actually going to get in. There is not a lot of precedent for this, actually none, as no Group of Five team has ever reached the college football playoff dating back to 2014, the first year it was in existence. UC should end up with the undefeated record, and you think that should get you in to the college football playoff, but again, does that one win versus a top 10 team get them there? They surely won't be ranked above a one-loss Alabama or Georgia team. They're the number one and number two teams in the nation. They're going to end up playing. They're both virtually locks at this point, in my mind. Still have Oklahoma, who's undefeated. You could argue that the Big 12's not super strong, but they may have two ranked wins on their schedule if they can beat Texas and Oklahoma State. I'd argue that just the eye test shows me that UC is a better team than them. But, you also have four undefeated Big Ten schools in the top 11, plus a one-loss Ohio State team that's looking like they're starting to hit their stride. Yes, I'm a big Ohio State fan. Trust me, this is not a bias coming out. I've just seen this before. Ohio State is going to be a school to watch to jump UC in the standings. If they went out, they would have wins against the current number 4, number 11, and number 9 teams. That's Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan. Of course, Michigan State and Michigan, they're going to play. Like, some of these teams are probably going to beat up on each other. So their rankings are going to alter between now and when those games are played. But there's also a potential Big Ten championship game against number 3, Iowa. If you can beat all four of those teams that are ranked within the top 11 and only have a one loss to a 10th-ranked Oregon at the time, just look at the resumes. It matters who you beat and who you get beat by. And while Cincinnati will likely have zero losses on the season, their only real true big-time win is Notre Dame, because Indiana just simply isn't that good this year. So I'm very skeptical. I'm rooting for UC. I hope they get in, and I hope there's a scenario where they and Ohio State can both go, since I am a big Ohio State fan. But I think this UC team is awesome. I think they're worthy. I just don't know that I can really trust the system right now to say that they are a lock, because I know there's a lot of excitement around this team, and there's going to be some irate people if they don't get a chance to go to the college football playoff with an undefeated record. So again, I'm rooting for them. I hope they get in. I hope my team gets in too, but I'm looking at these scenarios that I just laid out and saying there might be a lot of ticked off people later on down the road. I hope it doesn't come to that, because right now it's fun to be a UC fan, and it's fun to be a Bengals fan as well. 3-1 after 4 weeks, tied atop the AFC North with the Browns and Ravens. I was kind of hoping everybody in the North was going to lose this week after the Bengals one on Thursday. I'll take the Steelers' loss to the Packers yesterday, but a near-perfect start to the season for the Bengals. I thought coming into the season that 3-1 was doable after 4 weeks. It's the easier part of their schedule, really, when you look at things. And if they would have shown up in the first half in Chicago, who knows? This team might be 4-0 right now. But I kind of break the schedule down into four-game stretches. Bengals just had a major win going 3-1 over the first four. They have a big opportunity to put two or three more wins together over the next four, because they get to play at Detroit and at the Jets. Those teams are not good. They're not better than the Bengals, at least from what I've seen so far this year. So you think that the Bengals are going to go in favored in those games, even on the road. They should be able to take care of business there. If you can get the home game against Green Bay this Sunday, with the extra rest from the Thursday game, they're starting to get healthy. It looks like T. Higgins, Jesse Bates are going to be back for that game on Sunday. Awuzie, the starting corner, should be back as well. And then they have a game at Baltimore, and they don't look super scary so far this year, even though they're 3-1. So I can see a scenario where the Bengals can get to at least 5-3 after 8 games. Maybe 6-2, that would be absolutely phenomenal. But I think they really need to go 3-1 over the next four to give themselves the best shot at vying for the playoffs. Their schedule is going to get really, really tough on the back end. You can go look at that schedule on your own and make up your mind on that. But I'm telling you, it's going to get really, really tough on that backside. So a lot of wins now will help them a little bit later on, because if they can just win a couple games they're maybe not supposed to, they'll be in the conversation at the end of the year. Quickly on the Reds, they end the season 83-79, 6-3 win over the Pirates yesterday. Not going to make the playoffs, but a winning season, I guess, is the next best thing for the Reds. Votto, Winker, Stevenson, India, Castellanos, among others, give me some big hope for the 2022 season, but that is contingent on the Reds bringing back Nick Castellanos. He had 100 RBIs this year, was in the MVP race for a long, long time. Who knows what's going to happen with him? He is able to opt out of his contract this year. He said yesterday after the game he's going to speak with his family about it, talk a little bit more about their future. He did say that he loved playing in Cincinnati. It was the funnest season he's had as a pro, but it could come down to money at the end of the day. So I say pay the man. If he does opt out, let's get Nick Castellanos back in a Reds uniform and really go for it next year, because I think the Reds have a chance to be really good with him back in the fold, and a couple extra moves in free agency or via trade, they could really be in business next year. And finally, one quick thought on FC Cincinnati. They are well on their way to winning the Wooden Spoon for a third straight year. I shouldn't say winning, because the Wooden Spoon goes to the team that finishes in dead last. That's currently where they are at. They have fired their general manager and their coach. They have a new general manager that was announced today. His name is Chris Albright. He played 15 years in the MLS and won 3 MLS Cups. That is something that they had searched out for. They wanted someone in charge that has MLS experience, that knows how to win in this league. They have not had that before. They've tried to go with some international hires and some maybe like big name type guys, but Chris Albright has been working as a technical director for the Philadelphia Union for the past several seasons. They have a great youth academy. They've been a really strong team in the Eastern Conference, so hopefully he can bring what he has learned from being with the Philly Union to Cincinnati and start turning this team around. But it's going to take patience and it's going to take a little bit of time, so hopefully Chris Albright's the right guy, and the next thing will be to see who he hires as the next head coach of FC Cincinnati. Please, please be the right guy and guys. So that's going to do it for me tonight. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. A lot of sports information we just threw at you. You can always get caught up on past episodes at EagleCountryOnline.com. I want to thank our sponsor, OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. You can learn more about them at OrthoCincy.com. What do you say we do this again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.